this morning. I want to, let me see how I want to do this, what I want to do first. Well, let me say this. Let me say this to you. This is Pentecostal Sunday. And it's 50 days after the Passover, which is the time that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is the day that the Holy Ghost came down and the church was changed forever. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. So I want to, I tell you what I'm going to do. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts first chapter. Acts, the first chapter. Beginning at verse 4 of the first chapter, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but listen at this, verse 8. You ready for this? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Glory be to God. I think I need to read verse 8 again. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Hallelujah. The purpose of the Spirit-filled church. This is the time that the church celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. There were 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and baptized them all in, and not in water, but they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want to say this to you, that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he's been here ever since, dealing with the church, working with the church. You hear me? Hallelujah. That's when the church was supposed to go forth and do the work that God had called it to do accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. So, my message is the purpose of the Spirit-filled church. What should we be doing? You know, some folks, and we're going to move on, but some folks get baptized with the Holy Spirit and they speak in other tongues. Believe it or not, there are some that never speak in other tongues again. And then sometimes there are others that speak in other tongues when they feel a little chill or something, you know. And they, you know, they're speaking other tongues. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit is with us always. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul himself told the church, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. That tells me that Paul was a man that fellowshiped with God and that he prayed in tongues every day. Amen. And there is a reason for that. And it's not just to look spiritual or to try to act spiritual. The Holy Spirit is here for a purpose. Amen. He's here for a purpose. There's a reason he's here. This will be the third time, but I want to read it again. Verse 8, Acts chapter 1. Now listen to what Jesus told them. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when he's come upon you. Let that sink in for a moment. You'll receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now, is that the power so that we can go and brag? Is that power so we can say, look how spiritual I am? No. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and, everybody say, and. And, they took the words right away from me, but I got my Bible. Amen. And you shall be witnesses. There's a reason that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a reason that we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Point number one, the purpose of the Spirit-filled church is to win the lost. You hear me? The purpose of the Spirit-filled church is to win the lost. Now, I want to turn back to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. I might be traveling a little bit in the scriptures, so just stay with me. But in Luke, the 24th chapter, and let me see where I want to begin here. I'll just begin at verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And now listen at this. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You get that? Notice now, let's just look exactly at what the Word of God says. Verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Look at verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Excuse me. Jesus said, you've been called to be a witness to me throughout the whole earth. And not just the group he was talking to. This applies to all of us. We've been called to be witnesses for him throughout the entire earth. But notice what he told them, because at that time the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, had not come. So he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In other words, when you go, you need the power. You need to go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for dancing. Thank God for, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. I don't know if I get to it today or not. But when I say dancing, I'm talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Thank God for all of that. That is very much needed. But I want you to understand something. The Holy Ghost is more than a jerk. The Holy Ghost empowers us to do the work of the ministry God's called us to. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Now that's not all. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, second chapter of Hebrews. Second chapter of Hebrews. All right. Are you there yet? All right, y'all beat me there. I'll begin at verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now listen, they heard the word of God. Amen? They heard the word of God. They received the word of God. They believe the word of God. Amen? But look at look at verse 4. It says, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Let me tell you something. We need power to be a witness. We need power to be a witness. Let me tell you something. Witnessing is more than just trying to convince someone to come to Christ. And that's part of it. Amen? We share the gospel with them. We let them know that they need Jesus Christ in their life. Hallelujah. But when we look at the example of Jesus, and we look at the example of the early apostles and the early believers, yes, they spoke the word of God, and they shared Jesus with the people. But we just read here in Hebrews where there were signs and wonders that followed. Let me tell you something. The Spirit-filled church needs signs and wonders following the Word of God. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. Signs and wonders get folks' attention. It gets their attention. When there's a miracle that takes place, if you lay hands on them and they get healed, guess what? That gets their attention. Jesus said, if you don't believe my word, at least believe the signs that you saw, the miracles that was done. That's the reason the church must be Spirit-filled, walking in the power of God. Not only ready to witness and share the gospel, but ready to, if you need to lay hands on someone, you lay hands on them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to cast out a devil, don't be afraid, because you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in that person. That's the reason Jesus told him, say, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Are you still here? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So one of the callings of the Spirit-filled church is to win the lost, with signs following. Say that again. Win the loss with signs following. You know, if you're witnessing to someone, sharing Jesus with them, don't neglect to ask them if they need prayer. Ask them if they need prayer. And believe God for a miracle. You know, I hear people say, man, I sure do wish we could see a move of God like we saw in certain times, you know, maybe doing Azusa Street or one of the other times when there was just a great move of God. But I'm convinced that we are not waiting on God. That's fine. God's waiting on us. Amen. God's waiting on us. Hallelujah. I won't go into my story, but that doesn't take too long. But God is waiting on us to move. God is waiting on someone to say, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe your word. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel and I'm going to pray for the sick or whatever it needs to be done. Okay, I got you, preacher, but what if nothing happened? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to pray. What if they don't get saved? Witness anyway. But what if there's no manifestation of healing or whatever they may need? You just keep on praying. You keep on laying hands on the sick or whatever. You keep on doing. You just obey the word of God. You hear me? We are called to obey the word of God. Hallelujah. The second thing, this is very, very important, especially the day that we're living in right now. Not only are we to win the lost, but as a Spirit-filled church, we need to strengthen our brethren. We need to strengthen our brothers and sisters. Listen. How many of you believe that this Bible was written for the Spirit-filled church? Amen. How many of you believe that Spirit-filled men wrote the Bible, the New Testament especially? Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's taking me a little while to get there. I got some new glasses. I'm still getting used to these things. I'm real tempted to go back to my old ones. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But before I read from that chapter, I want to bring you back. We talked about this few weeks back. Remember Peter? He denied Jesus Christ and he was crushed over that. And Peter went back to his old ways. He went back to fishing and so forth. And in other words, Peter left the ministry that Jesus had called him to. But thank God, if there's anyone here that are listening to me via the live stream, and God called you to the ministry, and you know God called you, there's no question about it, yet things didn't turn out the way you thought they would have. Maybe someone lied on you. And you became discouraged. And you left the ministry. And you says, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. But yet God called you to the ministry. Now I know I left my subject here just a minute. Y'all just stay with me. But you left the ministry. Well, I just want to tell you, God has not changed his mind. Jesus hadn't changed his mind. Peter denied it. Denied him, had a cussing fit. But yet Jesus came looking for Peter. And I want to say he's looking for you. Now, I don't have a slightest idea who this is for, but this God just dropped this in my spirit and I'm sharing it, and then we're gonna move right along. But Jesus is looking for you because you're out of place. You're out of place. Jesus called Peter back, and this is what he told him. He says, Peter, when you've repented, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. And I'm here to tell you, the ministry is not easy. It's not easy. But you don't serve because it's easy. You serve because you're called. And that applies, now I'm not just talking about pulpit ministry too. What I was sharing a few minutes ago was concerning the pulpit ministry, but when God calls you, you know, don't look for things to always be easy. Don't look for everybody to like you. Matter of fact, if everybody like you, you might want to check yourself. You still here? Everybody's not going to like you. You're going to rub some folk the wrong way, especially if you tell them the truth in love. Not everybody's going to like you. But you got to stay with it. Amen? So Jesus told Peter, and this is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, in case anybody want to know. But Jesus told him, said, Peter, now go strengthen your brothers. Go strengthen your brothers. And that's part of our responsibility as the church, is to strengthen our brothers. Strengthen our brothers. It's so easy to cut each other down, talk about one another. I'm talking about being in the same family. I'm not talking about your kinfolk. I'm talking about your blood family. What blood family? The blood family of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to strengthen one another. Help build each other up, not tear each other down. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all certainly should have 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but now, right? Amen. Good for you. I'm getting there too. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Who comforts us in all our tribulation. You see that? Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that, everybody say that, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. How? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Hallelujah. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not supposed to be fighting. We're supposed to be building one another up. We're supposed to be praying for one another. Do we agree on everything? No. Do we always see things the same way? No. But we should be praying for one another, comforting one another. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Let's go to another one. I told you we'd be traveling a little bit, didn't I? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see. Book of Hebrews. Chapter 3. I'll pick it up in verse 12. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." But, everybody say but. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't think some folks got that, so let me read it again. I'm going to try reading it on the screen this time. Maybe it won't disappear. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the, everybody say it, the deceitfulness of sin. We have to understand, listen, not everybody is on the same spiritual level. You know, I've been born again a long time. I got saved in 1969. That was a long time ago. Hallelujah. But you know something? If a person got saved 2 hours ago, they're just as saved as I am. They're just as saved as I am. But they probably will not be as spiritually mature as I am. But what is my job as a more mature Christian is to help them spiritually, to help them grow spiritually because of the deceitfulness of sin. Why is sin deceitful? Because it looks pretty. Yeah. It looks good. It smells good. It sounds good. Sometimes it even sounds reasonable. But you got to understand, sin is deceitful. Therefore, we must help those that are still growing spiritually, which all of us are growing spiritually. I've been saved a long time, but y'all know I'm still growing. And I hope you are too. And I will be growing until the day that I leave this earth. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But we've been called to build each other up as a spirit-filled church, not tear each other down. Hallelujah. Yes, there comes a time when we need to correct a brother or correct a sister, but how do you do that? Do you do it in anger and bitterness? No, you do it in the love of God. You do it in love of God. Matter of fact, I like the way it says it here. I got to find it. I'll tell you where to go in just a minute. Oh, glory to God. Go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it says, brethren. Now, this is talking to the believers, right? The believers are brethren and sistren. Brethren, if a man or woman is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, not being harsh and bitter and disrespectful. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Why? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I want you to notice something here. He's talking to the spiritual brethren and sister. Okay? Those who are spiritual. But then, even if you're spiritual, full of the Holy Ghost, spending time with God like you ought to, fellowshipping with the Lord, even when you help those that's overtaken in faults, you can't let your guard down. I've heard it said that you can get to a place where, you know, that you don't sin anymore. And nobody should be sinning or wanting to sin. But some of the same folks that said it, it's been a number of years back, I watched them. Some of the same folks that said it, and they kind of, you know, made us less spiritual folks feel awful. I mean, I felt bad, but I was learning. And so you get to a place where you don't sin no more. In other words, what they were saying is you can get to a place where you are not even tempted by sin anymore. Don't let nobody fool you. You can still be tempted. You know how I know you can be tempted? Jesus Christ himself was tempted. Matter of fact, the Word of God said he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So it doesn't matter how spiritual you are. You don't ever want to let your guard down because you can be tempted. Why? Because you're still in your flesh. You're still in your body. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says, I keep my body under. I keep it under subjection to, in other words, he was keeping it under subjection to his spirit. You listen, you have to watch this thing. Yes, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. But I can't let my guard down. Can't let my guard down. I got to continue to flow with God, stay in the Word of God. So let me read it to you again. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, look at verse 2. What are we to do? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Y'all, can I read verse 3? Y'all mind? Is that all right with y'all if I read verse 3? If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We got to stay alert. Because sin is deceptive. It'll trip you up. You've heard me say this many, many times. Sin will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. It'll cost you something. But you know what? Let's strengthen our brothers and strengthen our sisters. Even if they're overtaken in a fault, in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness, bring them back. If they will listen to you, bring them back. Amen. Because we've all sinned and came short of the glory of God. Amen. Even since we've been saved. You know what? I'm not prophesying or doing anything right now, but as I look across this congregation, I think I can safely say that each and every one of you have missed it. You've sinned in some way since you've been saved. Amen. You've sinned in some way. All of us have. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess, and that, by the way, that's talking to the church. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now, let me say this, and I'm getting ready to close this out. If the Lord says the same, we may continue along this line next week. We'll see. But I want to say this, because I know folk have problems in these areas. I'm talking about Christians. Let's say you do sin. Let's say you lose your temper. Let's say you say something that you shouldn't have said, maybe to your husband, to your wife, your brother, your sister, friend, whatever. And you're sorry about the way you acted or what you said. Here's what you do. You do what 1 John 1:9 says. You confess it. And by the way, you need to apologize to whoever you, if it's harsh words, you need to apologize to the person you were talking to. You would be surprised how hard it is for some folks to admit they were wrong. I'm the pastor of this church, and if I say something wrong to you or do you wrong, and I realize that I did that, I'm coming to you and I'm going to apologize to you. They didn't understand why Jesus washed, the disciples didn't understand why Jesus washed their feet. But you know, he was washing the lowest part of their body. We need to have the same attitude. Just as I read, for anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Sometimes we think we more than we really are. We got to get to the point where we know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It ain't my smarts. It ain't my good looks or the lack thereof. It's through Christ. So let me leave you with this today. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ and strengthen your brethren. Brothers and sisters hurt. I'm talking about Christians. They hurt. But I talk to them. Sometimes folks say things to them. They don't get over it. But they need someone to encourage them. You'd be surprised. And I am closing. I am closing. This may be my second or third one, but I am closing. You would be surprised, and maybe not, maybe you won't, of the people who would tell you, yeah, I'm saved. Well, do you go to church? No. Why not? Well, I was hurt in church. So I've decided I'd never go back to church again. Wow. I said, wow. That should never be. The church is the place, should be the place of healing. Should be the place of healing. It should be the place where we can sit down and in the name of the Lord, share our hurts. Amen. I use you, sister, as an example, just as example only. But if you hurt me, I should be able to come and you and I sit down together and talk about it. And then pray about it. And then hug and go our separate ways rejoicing in the Lord. Y'all listening to me?
Amen.
Because it's easy to hide and talk. That's easy. That's the easy way out. A true man or woman of God are face a situation. Say, let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. Oh, but the devil don't want that. Oh, man, no, he don't want that. He wants you fussing and fighting. Hear people talking about it all the time. Man, I tell you what, such and such stuff going on in that church over yonder, or this going on or that going on, that shouldn't be the case. I want this church. Now, I only pastor this church. But listen to me. I told y'all, didn't I tell y'all I was finishing up? Y'all still believe me, don't you? Here's what I'm getting at. Make a decision. We're a spirit-filled church. Let's make a decision. I'm not going to let anything drive a wedge between me and my brother or my sister. If we have some differences and we can reconcile these differences, praise the Lord. If that brother, that sister don't want to have anything to do with me, in spite of my love for them, I'm still going to pray for them and I'm going to do whatever I can to help them. Amen. Now, y'all heard that before, hadn't you? At least 5 or 10 times, right? But listen to me, it's so important. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.